to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh radio program here on a beautiful Monday. There's always going to be something that you can find that is beautiful about the day. And so I hope that you had a marvelous weekend. Pray that God spoke to you, that you worshiped him, and that you were encouraged and empowered to go out and represent him well throughout Brevard County in Jesus' name. So today I want to start off by saying thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I've told you for years and years about their experience and their expertise and their great work ethic. But today, if you don't mind, could and if you need a concrete company, they deal with contractors on a regular basis. They're really good at what they do. But could we just pray for all of the tradesmen that are out there, and they're battling the brutal elements, whether they're roofers or concrete people or air conditioning people or landscapers, road crews, whatever it might be. Could we just pray for them today, that God would keep them safe? Father, I just want to come to you right now in Jesus' name. I pray that your hand of protection would be upon all of those who are working outside in the elements. God, I pray that you would keep them safe, keep them hydrated. I pray for our schools, God, that as students prepare to return to the classroom, God, that you would be a shield of protection for the teachers and the students, both in body, in mind, and in soul. God, I pray that you would intervene with people's situation physically, relationally, and financially. God, I pray that if there's any in this county, God, that are hurting and bound up in bitterness or unforgiveness, God, I pray that you would come and that you would move in their heart and life to forgive those, that they would move from bitterness to betterness, and God, that you would cause your favor to rest upon them in Jesus' name. Keep our construction crews safe and sheltered today as they make our life so much better with their handiwork. God, I pray that you would make their life better with your protection in Jesus' name. So we're going to go to the book of Job today, chapter 42. Job chapter 42, and we'll probably be, today will probably be the last day that we go through these passages in Job. Hopefully it's been a journey through there that will help you to come away with a greater revelation of who God is and his magnitude. So verse number 1 of chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So here is the conclusion that Job comes. Remember, God said, stand up. I'm going to question you, and you will answer me. And Job had given a little bit of an answer earlier when he said, let's see if I can find it, in chapter 40, verse number 3, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. And God cut him off. I want you to know that Job at that point in time had seen how unholy he was, how insufficient he was compared to the holiness and the sufficiency of God. And now God has spoken, and it is time for Job to give his final answer. And Job answers God and said, I know that you can do everything. I know that you can do anything. So when you pray and ask God, please understand that it is not if God is able. Remember, there was a man that came and said, if you are able, if you are willing, you can do this. And Jesus said, if, not if I, but if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. I believe it's in Jeremiah where it says, nothing is too hard for God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything is a word that is filled with an immeasurable scope. He can save us. Yes, absolutely. He can heal us. Absolutely. He can provide for us without question. And he longs to be in relationship with us. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know how to explain how a God who is bigger than the universe can condense himself in such a glorious manner that the fullness of the Godhead can reside inside the limited aspects of a person's life. I don't know how that's possible, but I know God says that it is. I've told you that there are things about the Bible, and I look and I see that there's one thing going on over here, and there's another thing that goes on over here, and sometimes questions like that cause people to really question their faith. That's not my response. My response is, God, I know that you can do everything. I know that you do not lie, cannot lie. So whatever you say is true. And I may not be able to figure out how statement A can be true while at the same time statement B can be true. But God, I have such confidence in you that is beyond my understanding. I don't know how you're going to pull that off, but God, I want you to understand, I believe you're going to pull that off. You're going to verify that both of those statements are not just true, they're 100% true. God, I know that you can do everything. Can I stop for just a moment? This is a gentleman who God had been boasting of and bragging about at the beginning of Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Okay? I want you to understand that when he fashioned creation, he said it was good. When he fashioned man, he said it was very good. In Job chapter 41, verse number 12, God resumes talking about Leviathan. He said, I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. What man would look at and see as a monster. God said, I will not conceal these things. And that is, I will not keep silent about it. I want you to know where God's attitude is toward you. If you're a child of God, he is thoroughly pleased with you. I was in a meeting several years ago, and a person said that they had had a conversation with God, and God had said to them, you don't really believe that I love you. And he had spent much of his life in a performance-based lifestyle, and finally he admitted, he said, God, I don't. Because I look at my inadequacies, and I want you to look at God's sufficiency. And God ushered him into a relationship where he knew that he was loved beyond question. Loved not because of what he could do, but just loved because God wanted to love him, and his sins were forgiven. His name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he was using the time and the giftings that God had given him for God's glory and his praise. God, you can do anything. You can do things that are possible with man. You can do things that are impossible for man. You can do everything. If you had been through the tragedy, if you had been through the loss, if you had been through the conversations of comfort that really weren't comforting, they were really confronting. If there were people who were saying, you've got secret things going on in your life, we know it, you know it, everybody knows it, you deserve all of this bad stuff that has happened to you. Listen, if that's your manner of comforting, stop it, retire, give up, never try and comfort another person again for the sake of the kingdom. But if you can go through all of that, and you can, every once in a while, there's this statement that Job comes out with, says, I know that I will see the king. I know that I'm going to stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I know that you can do anything. Job comes out of all of the horrific things that everything horrific that the enemy could throw at him. And he came out not with a lesser awareness of who God was, but a greater awareness of who God is. I remember watching a movie. I think it was God's Not Dead. I think that was the name of the movie. There were like two or three of them that they produced. I don't remember how many that they produced. And there was a person who had lived their whole life in hostility against God, striving to disprove the reality of God. And it all boiled down to the death of his mother when he was a little child. And I know it's a screenplay and all of that sort of stuff, but that stuff happens. That stuff happens. I don't know what you may have experienced, and you felt like God abandoned you, and you didn't get what you wanted. And you know, maybe it was the relationship that you thought you were going to spend your life together, and then you found out you weren't even spending the next day together. Don't ever allow the disappointments of man to blind you to the blessings of God. God not only does everything. God not only is capable of doing everything, He does it well. He does it very, very well. Verse number 2 continues, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Let me put my finger there on verse number 2. Let me read to you verses 9 through the end of the chapter. Job chapter 42. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In all the land, verse number 15, were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And the end of it says, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. God, no purpose of yours can be withheld. If I can just say something just a little bit, I want you to understand that there are people who are sitting on the sidelines watching what is going on spiritually in your life. They don't want to have anything to do with the suffering aspect. They're just watching. But when God has brought you through successfully, and when God's blessing starts to show up in your life, when it is clear that the favor of God is there, and all of a sudden your prayer life is not a struggle, it's vibrant, and you're not only praying for yourself, you're praying for others, and God has taken everything that the enemy took and he has returned it multiple times over. In Job's case, it was twice as much. Then all of a sudden, I just want to share this with you. There are people who didn't want to have anything to do with you when you were going through the suffering, but when you start experiencing the victory, they're going to want to show up, and they're going to want to be a part of the celebration. No matter where you are in that journey, keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to know the purpose of God for your life. Okay? There's a passage in the book of Acts that says David did not die until he had fulfilled God's purposes in his life. That means his dad sending him out and to take care of the sheep all by himself, he wasn't going to die tragically out there, even though nobody really, you know, gave that much supervision to him. That meant when his brothers were not treating him well, they didn't have the highest regard for David either, if you read their interactions with him before Goliath. And it doesn't matter, because God's got a purpose in your life. When Goliath stands before you and you stand on behalf of God, that you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to fulfill the purposes in your life. When Saul feels threatened because the hand of God is upon you and the hand of God is no longer upon him, and he starts lashing out at you, even though you've done nothing but be a spiritual blessing in his life, you don't have to wonder about if you're going to fulfill your purpose, because you know what God has said. You know what Samuel anointed you for. God's purposes are going to come to pass. When tragedy strikes your family and they start attacking one another like they did with Amnon and Tamar and Absalom, Adonijah and Solomon. When Absalom rises up in rebellion and tries to take your throne and takes some of your most trusted advisors and you are running and hiding. God, is your purpose still there? Listen, I believe that the most dangerous threat to David's purpose was David, when he saw Bathsheba and committed adultery with her and then had her husband Uriah the Hittite murdered. God had a purpose on David's life. It required repentance. The sins required repentance. They required forgiveness. There was a high price tag to that, but there was still a purpose in David's life. And the Holy Spirit causes the writer in the book of Acts to say he wasn't dying until he had fulfilled his purpose. Job says it this way: no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So you may have been like me, you know, didn't make the team on an occasion, but that's okay. God's purpose is still prevailed. I look back and I see some vulnerable points that I looked back with humiliation upon back in the day, and all of a sudden here a few years ago, God said, you don't understand how pivotal that moment was. That wasn't a point of embarrassment to me. That was a moment of my protection to keep you for the purpose that I had for you. So, you know, the rejections of men and people who just literally tried to undermine my mindset and things like that through the years. But God's purpose, even though it's not always easy, please understand that purpose requires intentionality, and it requires patience and perseverance. And it says, we're going to press through this because there's a purpose. There is a purpose. God, no purpose, not one single purpose. Let me read that: no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So I want to ask you, whose purpose do you want to fulfill? Yours or God's? It doesn't say that every purpose or every plan that I have for my life is what's going to come to pass. What really matters is God's purpose and God's plans that he created for us from before the foundation of the world. So here we are at the first day of a brand new week. And there are choices to be made. There are choices to be made. Are you going to approach it as a defeated pessimist that says, this is never going to work out well? Or are you going to approach it in faith and say, God, you can do everything? I mean, a lot of people only believe that God can do everything when everything is going well in their life. Job had grown in his faith to know that when everything in my world falls apart, God hasn't fallen apart, and he will put things back together in a glorious way. I want his purpose. I want his plan. And I pray that you do as well, and that when you go out there, realize, hey, when God has spoken to my heart, when he's told me about that he intends on saving that loved one that so far has resisted God's grace, and they're steadfastly holding in their life of sin. Say, God, your purpose is going to come to pass. I pray that you have a very determined mindset, that you said, I'm not letting go of God. I am going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Okay? I refer a lot of times to Revelation chapter 4, where heaven's throne room is revealed as a dynamic place. It's a place of activity. It's a place of decree. It's a place of worship. Things are happening there. And I always say, you know, whenever you realize that, understand that God is working in ways that maybe you don't know about. I love it when I'm the last one to find out what God's been doing. You know, it's like surprise. It's like Christmas. Every day you wake up and say, wow, look at what God did. Look at what God did. So here we are again. We still got a little bit more to talk about, but Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So make sure that the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a once a week occurrence, but the presence of the Lord is something that you treasure as much as he does. Remember what Jesus said? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I pray that our response would be, I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you, because Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened in my life. So that's where we are. Our mission assignment this week is beautiful Brevard County, where God brings thousands upon thousands upon thousands of visitors week after week after week. There are college students that are going to be coming to Brevard County from all over the world. And you know what they need to see? They need to see Jesus on display in the life of people who know him and say this, God, there's nothing you can't do. You can do everything. And there's not a purpose you have that's not going to come to pass. Every weapon, every device Satan has is going to be disarmed and rendered useless by the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.